Fakes to Allen. Fakes to Swift. And there's Komet. Cole Komet. Touchdown. 31 yards. What a play.
Yeah, what a play indeed. This Caleb Williams guy, pretty good. We were debating what he's going to be doing in his off time, and people are reporting that he's been engaging on social media, that he has been responding to some
posts. I haven't seen it, but I believe if they say it.
Yeah, I mean, I believe it. I haven't spent a ton of time on it. If you're just joining us and we're talking about Bears quarterbacks, I don't know if you saw the news that Jay Cutler was busted for gun possession and driving while intoxicated.
That was in Tennessee.
Yes. There was an afternoon car accident where he allegedly rear-ended another vehicle, and when officers arrived, they noticed a strong smell of booze. They said he was slurring his words, had bloodshot eyes, refused to take field sobriety test, took him to a hospital to get a blood sample. One of the two firearms in Cutler's vehicle was a loaded pistol.
This is a very bad situation.
Yeah, and he was busted for driving while intoxicated. And it's funny, the reaction to his mugshot where he looks like Dr. Richard Kimball, and the people are saying, boy, he doesn't... That's resting Cutler face. That's his normal look. That is not anything different from any other picture that's ever been taken of him.
That's a thing, resting Cutler face?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I was familiar with
that. Look at any picture of him.
No, I know what his face looks like. I know the face that he does or does not make, mm-hmm. but... I didn't know it just had that terminology attached to it.
Yeah, well, that's a rough night, I think. But 5 p.m.? What time did he get started in the day? All right, well.
Can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning.
I guess that's true. I know I can't do it. I cannot day drink.
If I'm going to partake in any beverage with alcohol in it, I much prefer that there to be light outside when I do so.
Really?
What? You just pace yourself is the thing. That's the key to day drinking.
I don't think that's the key to... I think I'm more just happy that I'm going to be home by like 8, maybe 9 at the latest and get a full night's sleep. If you go out at night, you're pushing back your ability to get up and do things in the morning, which I know people younger than me probably don't care about. But me, I have a routine. I have certain things I like to get done before, say, 8 o'clock.
I don't drink when I golf at all. Sometimes even like one beer can mess me up. I don't like to drink when I fish.
I don't even drink beer anymore.
There are some people who just automatically like golfing and drink together and fishing and drinking together.
It's a social activity. I get it.
Yeah, but you got to have your senses sharp for fishing. Like you may have one chance all day to react to the tiniest little twitch.
You take fishing a little more seriously than I think.
The average person does. But also,
I don't take fishing that seriously. If I'm fishing, I'm going to have a beer in my hand.
Well, I understand if somebody's like putting lines out for catfish and you're just sitting in a lounge chair and you wait until there's a takedown and then you come grab the rod. That's a little different than when you have to have like the rod blank in your hand and feel the mouth close around the lure. You know, that's...
You would be very disappointed in my last time fishing.
What'd you do?
It was in college.
I hooked myself in the head this summer.
It was in college. We raided a catfish farm and had catfish for the entire dorm.
What do you mean you raided a catfish farm?
You went late at night, jumped the fence, and went fishing and caught all the catfish because it was a catfish farm.
That's not fishing. That's
sure
poaching. That's theft. That's no different than going to a grocery store and taking all the catfish fillets.
But we had to actually pull the fish out of the water.
But that's not fishing.
My college roommate, Keith, this is freshman year in college.
This is brilliant. I love
seriously,
this.
Seriously, you might as well take like one of those electric boom
Let
shockers
me ask you something. Let me
and
ask
just
something.
Scoop them off with a
this
net.
This is the first month of me being in college, right? Don't know a whole
just
lot of people.
We do?
This, so my buddy Keith, who was from Mobile, Alabama, was like, hey, you want to go fishing? And I was like, okay, it's not really much going on.
Okay.
It's like, I know a spot. It's like, all right. So we get to the spot, and I'm like, first of all, it's kind of weird that we're... I was like, I don't think I've ever been fishing at night. That probably should have been my first clue.
With a mask on.
No mask. We were just... And we just jumped over a fence. Like, oh, there's a special spot around here. I didn't know until we were actually fishing what was really going on, because I was like,
I mean, I have jumped some fences. I have fished some special spots, but not a catfish farm.
No.
It might have been private land.
Like, you sound like
a hypocrite.
You sound like a hypocrite.
Don't get me wrong. This has nothing to do with a little bit of guerrilla tactics when it comes to finding a good spot. It is different when you're actually in a fish farm.
Look, it's not like we were using dynamite. We had fishing reels, like rod and reel, like old school.
But it's filled with fish that are fattening up to be eaten.
We had buckets of fish that we brought back.
Listen, of course you did. You're fishing in a fish farm.
And Keith, man, so he fed the entire dorm. He was grilling them deep fry. Had the deep fryer.
You had a deep fryer in a dorm?
Outside.
Okay.
And so it's Mississippi.
Oh, okay, right. Every dorm room comes with a deep fryer.
Remember where we are.
Well, we got your micro fridge and your deep fryer.
So we did this, and we were everyone loved us. The rest of the, you know, it takes forever to learn people's names. Guess what? Everyone knew who Marshall and Keith were.
We did the same thing, except with drugs.
Yeah, see, I don't want to hear you get mad at me about some fish.
I did the same thing. I was running illegal cable.
Okay.
That's how I made friends freshman year. I'm like, wait a second, there's a cable jack here. I said, there's a cable jack here. I could split this, and I could amplify the signal, and I could run it through the drop tiles and in through everybody's transom. Who wants cable? I want cable. All right, give me a 12-pack. We're good. Mm. Everything's fine. Mm-hmm. Dave Wannstedt was on with Spiegel and Holmes. He said Caleb Williams is the best rookie quarterback he's ever seen.
He's so far ahead. I was on a show with Colin Coward this week, you know, and we were talking about that. He says, where's this kid? And I says, the guy is years ahead of any rookie that I've been around as far as football intelligence. He gets it.
I love to hear him say
in a post game one time, I knew I didn't really. They said, well, you didn't have any big plays. His longest pass play, I think, was the running back on a screen. A couple weeks ago.
Yep.
You know, longest pass to the receiver was to Romo Dunze, 11 yards. And someone asked him about it, and he says, well, I knew I didn't have to force anything because my defense was playing so good, and my punter, the punter had kicked two punts, Tony, 65
yards.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a kid from Iowa. It's crazy good. Best ever. And he said, so I knew I didn't have to force anything down the field. I mean, that's something that Tom Brady says.
So not only is Caleb Williams the best rookie quarterback he's ever seen, Troy Taylor's the best ever at punting. Those are the two statements I came away with.
He said best ever.
I heard him.
Is he okay?
Maybe hyperbole isn't play here.
Best rookie quarterback he's ever seen? That includes like Andrew Luck 2012.
C.J. Stroud more recently.
Yeah, Justin Herbert. How about 04 Ben Roethlisberger?
Is it because it's too early to be making that declaration because we haven't gotten through the season yet? Or is he saying in the game he saw against a subpar defense, that's the best quarterback as a rookie he's ever seen?
Cam Newton 2011?
That's why I asked
Russell
the question.
Russell Wilson? RG3?
Look at who he went up against the last 2 weeks, though.
Dak Prescott?
I understand.
The best, okay, I'm not, Dave's a knowledgeable football guy.
Clearly he's not the best rookie quarterback you've ever seen.
I don't know, not yet.
But when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I think he's looking at the lens of what I saw against the Jacksonville Jaguars, what I saw against.
Yeah, but he didn't. There were no caveats there. He didn't qualify it. Best rookie quarterback I've ever seen. And he just declared Torrey Taylor's the best punter ever.
Yeah, that's what really got my antenna up towards the end of that sound.
Best punter ever?
Who says he's not?
Well, Ray Guy's dead. He's not saying anything now. I think he's dead. Is he dead?
Did you kill somebody?
I hope I didn't kill Ray Guy. No, I think he is. The Bears almost killed
him. Yes, he is dead.
He is. Okay.
Died November 3rd, 2022 at the age of 72.
That's what I thought. Okay. But, there's a lot going on in there.
But it's Dave, so I give him plenty of latitude to how he talks and not take him so literally. We'll follow up on that.
Okay, I take him at his word. He said best rookie quarterback I've ever seen, and the Torrey Taylor is the best punter ever. Worst episode ever. Like, wow.
Okay.
All right, Dave. I see you. Now, on another front, what would it cost to get Max Crosby?
Too much.
A disgruntled Max Crosby?
Too much.
Why?
Well, former Falcons general manager, very experienced, Thomas Dimitroff. He was on with Zach Gelb on CBS National. And he said the cost would be two firsts and possibly a third in addition to that.
Oh, hell no.
Exactly. Too much. But it brings out the conversation, well, what would Myles Garrett get on the open market? Well, what would Hassan Reddick cost? Like, it kind of makes you wonder what all these guys would cost. If you're the Bears, what are you willing to spend on some help at defensive end? And what are other teams willing to spend? Do you think there's a team out there right now that would give up two firsts and a third?
No. And if it's not the Bears, who unless the Lions are that desperate, and I think that would be, just it'd be rash.
To get more context, Crosby's 27 years old. He's in the second season of a four-year, $94 million contract extension. Of course, that could be restructured. SpotTrack says he carries a base salary of $24.5 million this season, drops to $22.2 million. In the next season, in the final year, it's $18.8 million. So you can obviously restructure the contract, but two firsts? When it was just two firsts, I was like, no.
Mm-mm. Two firsts and a third? No. Let's listen to the Wanstead cut again. There's some texters saying that we got to listen to exactly how he phrased it, saying it's the best he's been around. So I definitely want to make sure that we're getting the syntax correct here.
He's so far ahead. I was on a show with Colin Cowherd this week, you know, and we were talking about that. He says, where's this kid? I says, the guy is years ahead of any rookie that I've been around as far as football intelligence. He gets it.
I love to hear him.
To say in the post game one time, I knew I didn't really. They said, well, you didn't have any big plays. His longest pass play, I think, was the running back on a screen a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
You know, longest pass to the receiver was the Romo Dunze, 11 yards. And someone asked him about it, and he says, well, I knew I didn't have to force anything because my defense was playing so good, and my punter, the punter had kicked two punts, Tony, 65
plus yards.
I mean, you know, it's a kid from Iowa. He's crazy good. Best ever. And he said, so I knew I didn't have to force anything down the field. I mean, that's something that Tom Brady says.
Okay, years ahead of any rookie I've been around as far as football intelligence.
I think you know what happened? I convoluted the best ever with talking about Taylor.
Taylor, he said best ever.
And I kind of mucked that up on the way out because that overwhelmed me, that part of the sound. So he's really only saying he's not even saying best. He's just saying the most intelligent of any quarterback he's ever been around, which I could see that.
But he's not really around him now. If you're saying
No. I think he's making observations at how intelligent Caleb is and comparing him to any quarterback he previously has been around.
That is okay. That's much more specific. If he says by been around, he means coached. Because that's not much of a list. That's actually not a big deal because Dave's list of quarterbacks is one you don't want to repeat in mixed company.
Wow.
Because I don't think he's ever had a good quarterback.
So it's an easy comment for him to make.
Yes. If you're saying, well, he's years ahead of Shane Matthews and Jay Fiedler and whoever else it might have been.
Rick Meyer? Are you saying Caleb's better than Rick Meyer?
He's years ahead of Steve Stenstrom. If it's actually, I mean, look at the list. If he's saying although that would include Sage Rosenfels,
Is that anyone? Is that also anyone he's ever scouted? Like,
I don't know. I don't know, because when he says been around, are we talking about going back to Miami and all the stuff with Jimmy and all the years of where were they? Oklahoma State.
But it's also guys he's seen as rookies. He may have seen better quarterbacks, but never was around them as a rookie.
Yeah, I think we'd have to define been around.
Well, we will get to the bottom of this.
Or as a broadcaster, anybody he's been in a meeting with, or he's scouted on the board or
that's
something
why
like
I said
that.
A scouting count, because that's a lot of quarterbacks then.
Sure. Regardless, he's very high on the football intelligence of Caleb Williams.
And the leg.
And that doesn't. And the leg of Torrey Taylor, best ever. Okay, great. Six games, best punter ever. I'm glad they drafted him.
Better than, hey, I'm still waiting to see how this punter thing works out. It didn't take very long for people to be like, I'm on board with the punter.
Yeah, well, 61 yards and stopping it on a dime or having it being able to, he can nose it down and have it bounce sideways. Like, some of that stuff is pretty amazing.
Yeah, so overall, it's also just hard to people maintain. Understand, Dave Wannstedt, as far as we can tell, was talking about Caleb Williams' football intelligence as a rookie
years
compared
ahead,
to other.
This is the exact quote. Years ahead of any rookie I've been around as far as football intelligence.
People are saying if you count the time in Dallas, Troy Aikman enters the chat.
Okay, well, he had a bad rookie year.
1-15, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they let him go out and learn, but he was a terrible rookie. Said and he had Marino in 99 in Miami. Well, that wasn't a rookie. Yes.
So, yes, that's good. But let's get back to this Crosby talk, because this is something that's not going away, because Crosby talked about the possibility of being moved, right?
Well, it's starting now when you're on that team and you realize that rats in the sinking ship might be headed out.
Well, you see Devontae Adams gone. That's your first indication. Oh, things aren't swell here. And I think we actually have the sound from Max Crosby when he was asked about what's going on with the Raiders.
I'm not here to rebuild. I'm here to win. So, you know, I don't know whatever that means. But, yeah, I'm here to win now. And wherever I'm going to be, I'm going to be here to win. So that's all that matters to me.
What? I don't know what that means?
He's saying, I don't know what that means, as in, I don't know if we can do that here or if I need to go somewhere else to be able to win now.
I'm going to be here to win.
He sounds like a guy who's open to being traded.
I don't want to be here if we're not trying to win.
You can't do that. He's still in the locker room. He's still in the locker room. And they're only 2-4.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not over. They are trending in the wrong direction.
Coach is on eggshells. The quarterback situation's a mess. I think he can smell what's being
cooked.
That's
on me.
Does the possibility of Max Crosby going to another team with this within this division, obviously Detroit is the first one that comes to mind, how much does that scare you, Dan Bernstein?
Nothing scares me right
okay,
now.
Okay, okay, okay. How much does that concern you, Dan Bernstein?
Well, I think him replacing Aiden Hutchinson would be obviously a major concern for an already terrific team. But I wouldn't be going out and spending two firsts and a third to keep another team from getting him. And if he ends up somewhere else, all right, I'll line up ours against theirs.
What would you be willing to give up, knowing the contract parameters that I just gave you?
It's like the Richard Dreyfuss scene in Tin Men with the car dealer, where he says, "How much would you like to pay for this car?" And he says, "How much would I like to pay for the car?
Zero.
Nothing. I would like to pay nothing
for the
for
car.
This car.
Yes.
So yes, I would like to pay nothing for Max Crosby. They've got this second round pick that belongs.
Looks to like a first round pick to me.
Carolina that will be essentially a first round pick.
Late first rounder.
So would I be willing to part with that?
Absolutely.
Yes.
You can add it to the, hey, look what Ryan Poles turned this into. And then you can add Max Crosby to the list.
I would.
Now, would you give up your own first round pick and that pick?
No.
Okay. Look, I have to ask these questions. I would not be willing to do that.
I wouldn't. That's no. The way things are going right now,
just roll the dice and let's see what happens.
And you've got assets. You have some guys you believe are developing players. They do need another edge rusher. They do.
They need another edge rusher. They probably need another defensive lineman too, like interior but defensive lineman
this
as
is,
well.
This is
a tackle.
And I know these. Every individual season is precious, but this is the start of something, not the middle of something or the end of something.
What do you mean?
I mean, with this is you just got Caleb Williams. The defense is starting to come together. You've cobbled together an offensive line. I don't think they need to pull out all the stops and accelerate a timetable to try to win this year's Super Bowl.
Will you feel any differently if they win all the games leading up to the trade deadline? That's one game. I don't know why I made it sound like it's dramatic. It's one game.
No, I mean, sure, I might, I guess. But the way I feel right now is that's just too steep a price. But again, I'm conservative in that regard. I really am. And we've been burned by some deals. The Khalil Mack deal seemed like it was go win the Super Bowl right now. I remember saying
they did
it.
Not indeed go win the Super Bowl right now.
Narrator. But no, they didn't. But I remember feeling that, like, okay, let's get this. And you had Quinn and everything, and you're just like, ooh, look at this coming together. And it was not to be.
I think maybe some Chicago fans, Cubs fans in particular, are looking back at how people got so excited about the manager signing, like, this is the addition we need. And to see the exact same result in wins and losses the following season, I don't know. But we'll find out together. That's what we do.
This segment is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today.